This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, there is nothing more frustrating. I would rather play golf in rain. Now, I don't mean like a torrential downpour, but, you know, intermittent, couple of showers. All right, the clubs get a little wet, whatever. The gear's wet, big damn deal. Pull over under a tree, you know, like a tree if you have to, if it gets really, really heavy, and then you resume your round. Then play in the wind. Playing golf in the wind is miserable. And he's all buttoned up. He's got his turtleneck on, and he's got some other layers on. But I guess his son just said, I'm out. His son is playing golf, but it's going to be rough out there today. Good luck. Good luck playing at Citi Field. 25-mile-per-hour winds I just saw going out to right field. So maybe Soto will start hitting some home runs. Maybe that gust of wind for Juan Soto will start having him dent the baseball. You know what's interesting? And we'll get back to the calls, right? 888-808-1019. And he did have the double last night. I'm just kidding. It's going to be good. The scripts for both the Yanks and the Mets are very, very... very different. Like, I thought that the Yankee pitch, I think many of us thought this, that the Yankee pitching would carry the Yankees early on, especially without Luis Gil. We know Cole's not coming back, but without Luis Gil. And we really weren't sure about the lower third of the batting order. And as I said, I don't know if he even caught the stat. I know it's pretty early, but, I mean, for a bunch of players trying to prove that they're major leaguers, the Yankees 7-8-9 hitters have the highest OPS in baseball. Who the hell would have guessed that? So... they are hitting, I know they didn't hit yesterday, but they're hitting at a rate that is unexpected, and their pitching's been, Freed hasn't been dominant yet. Rodon's ERA is almost 5.5. Even Devin Williams has been, And then the Mets, where we thought, all right, even though Lindor historically starts out slow, and he's showing signs, by the way, showing many more signs now this April than last April. He's starting to square things up a little bit more. But with Lindor 1, Soto 2, P3, you know, and I think we all thought Vientos would hit well to start and Nimmo a little bit more than he has as well, that it would be the Met bats that would be carrying them as the Mets navigate an early season without Manaea, not knowing where Senga was necessarily. You know, without Montas, it's been really the exact opposite. Pretty nuts. All right, 888-808. That's baseball, Susan. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the calls here. Talking a lot about Carlos Rodon. I don't know how you, and I've been a supporter. I don't know how you trust him at a big spot. He is just a mental mess when things unravel. Joe's in Lake Grove. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, man. A long time listener. Good to be on.
Okay, Joe. Thank you.
With Rodon, you know, you mentioned Boone before, but you didn't really hit home what I wanted to hear. I had to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was Division I ball player, pitcher. It's not coming from nowhere.
Okay.
But this is a funny little game, baseball, you know?
Yeah.
Any one little thing, you know, it will affect the outcome of the game every night.
I agree.
Boone, having been around quite a while, Boone, you're on the side, you're watching, you see Rodon's head spinning off. And the pitch clock's still running, all this. It's time to go out there and settle him down and have a talk and start getting him back on the game plan.
Well,
I don't know
okay,
why
Joe,
it doesn't
Joe,
happen
hold on a Joe,
right
Joe, hold
away.
On. Joe, hold on. I think I agree with you, but he doesn't really do that with anybody. Remember, he didn't do that with Gerrit Cole. Remember with that delay and that 31-minute World Series inning, he didn't go out there and talk to Gerrit Cole. That's not really what he does.
At that point, to me, it's the manager's fault. Now it's your fault. Everyone knows. I can see from my house that this man is unsettled. And it's time for send the pitching coach out.
Yeah,
send somebody out.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't disagree. I don't push back on that. I think that's good baseball sensibility. I'm not going to say that it's Aaron Boone's fault that Carlos Rodon melts as often as he does when things go awry. But, yeah, maybe he could be more influential as a stabilizer. I'm not going to push back on that. Let me get Jack and Muncie. What's happening, Jack?
Hey, what up, BT?
Hey, Jack.
How you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I just have a quick question on the AL East.
Yep.
It's starting off, it does not look too great. The Orioles don't look too great. The Red Sox and Blue Jays are doing their own thing. The Yankees are doing their thing. How many wins do you think the top team in the AL East will have this year?
I think definitely below 95, so let me start there and work back. I think it's going to be maybe 93, 94, something like that.
Do you think it might look like, remember the Braves in the 2021 World Series, I believe it was, where like they didn't have that many wins and they made it to the World Series? Do you think that could happen to the AL East?
Yes, I do, because I think it's now I don't think that that's a good route to take or to project in the National League, because I think there's too many good teams in the NL. But when I look at the American League, and listen, there's a reason why I wasn't banging the over from a Yankee perspective. Me and Sal went through this. I mean, I took the over, but I didn't take it with great confidence. The over under for Yankees wins was 89.5, and I just felt like, ooh, that's just too low. Now, if it was 90.5, I don't think I would have touched it. I really don't. Like, I think it's going to be that close. I think they'll probably settle in to 92, 93. But, I really wouldn't guarantee anything in sports. Who the hell knows? But I don't feel great about the Yankees absolutely winning the division. I think it's going to be tight. I think Boston's going to be a handful. You know, they got a couple of really good pitchers. They're going to hit. And, you know, I think Luis Gil's a massive key. And I think the length that the Yankee lineup is showing now, it doesn't have to hit at this level and, you know, project this kind of prowess, if you will, but it can't revert back to being a bunch of automatic outs, which was too often the case a year ago. I think Toronto's interesting, but not real. Forget about Tampa. I think Baltimore, I know they're under 500 slightly. I think they'll be in the mix. I think it probably comes down to Yanks and the Red Sox, and then I think there's a chance three teams are playoff teams from the East, but none of them will have a gaudy record. 888-808-1019. How about Eddie and Elizabeth? Ed, what's up?
What's up, BT? How you doing?
Good. What's happening, dude?
This was like the days when I coached against you when I was at FDU and you at Marist.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was. Hey, Northeast baseball, man. Chilly back in the day. That is sure. It's still true, by the way. Yes.
Yep. No, BT, you know what I'd like to see them go back to, but it'll never happen? Play doubleheaders on Sundays and Mondays your off day, you know, especially later in the year when you're going to have the good weather.
Yeah, the problem with this, Ed, and as I even brought this up earlier, the problem is they're not going to agree to it because you're leaving money on the table. You just are. Think about this. If there's a doubleheader on a Sunday at Yankee Stadium, now, I mean, you want to tell me it's split admission? I mean, what, are you going to play a game at 1 o'clock and then at 7? No, that's not plausible. And then if you make it, I've gone through these variations a million times. It's just not going to work. I like the sound of it. I even think that it would be awesome. I think one of the things about baseball, it's kind of ironic, where what I love about baseball is also sometimes what I take for granted about baseball, where I love the fact that it's a night-to-night companion. And sometimes when it is a night-to-night companion, as you get deeper into, I don't mean now, when there's still a newness or down the stretch when things really perk up, but it could become, take it for granted, you know? Yeah, watch a movie tonight. I'm a little baseballed out. I've watched the Yanks and the Mets for 8 straight days. I don't feel like watching baseball tonight. And I love baseball, but that's going to happen. That happens to me once in a while, you know? So I think when you create this separation of it always being there, I think that interest is renewed and restored. And I think football, quite frankly, now they're making money, but what's the end result? What's the consequences? The beautiful thing about football is that we'd have to wait a week. And now, okay, we still generally have to wait a week for the Jets and the Giants. I mean, sometimes I wish we could wait a month for the Jets and the Giants. But, you know, yeah, you'll get the rare occurrence, especially with the Rodgers schedule. Jets play Sunday and then maybe Thursday, so it's not quite a week. I get that, but that's kind of unconventional. But, like, in just football in general, like, I don't even – I do it, but I don't quite get the juice watching football than I used to because I'm almost footballed out. Sunday all day. Sunday night. And Sunday all day is still the best. But Sunday night, love it. Monday, all right, let's see what kind of matchup we get. You know, I'm here. Thursday, you know, right back. I got to restart the ignition because you don't just sit there and watch passively when you watch football. Many of you, you know, you cram as many bets as you can into the equation. You have two or three fantasy teams. There's a lot going on. It's not a lazy watch like baseball can be a lazy watch. And then obviously now as you get later in the season, you get the Saturday slate. And now football, because due to their inherent greediness and their disrespect to, I don't want to say to Christians, that's a bit much, but I can't stand the fact that they play on Christmas. I loathe that. And I railed on it a year ago. I'm not going to launch into it now. I'm not going to. But I think it is patently offensive to ask families who celebrate Christmas to interrupt it for a product that sucks compared to what it used to be. So I ain't watching on Christmas unless it's the Jets and the Giants or it's like the Ravens and Steelers and it means something. I think it's really unfair. I can't stand that they do that. But they do because they don't care about you and they don't care about me. So we get that now late in the season. It's just a lot. It's a lot. So I would love, you know, a new approach from baseball where it's not every single day. Because when you miss something, you tend to, you know, treat it with a little more respect, you know? You know, take it for granted. Phil's in Jamaica, Queens. Philip, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Always a pleasure talking to you.
You got it, Phil.
I wanted to talk about an idea I have with the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're the Mets or the Yankees and you play in the Northeast and the weather's good. And then at the end, they have to try to find doubleheaders. And that's sometimes, you know, your pitching staff gets in a wreck. You know, the Mets had like two or three doubleheaders at the end of the year.
Yep.
So my idea is this, especially in the Northeast, have every team make a dome stadium. Teams are making a lot of money and can easily afford to pay for a dome stadium. This way you don't have to worry about doubleheaders and the fans could enjoy a game. You could adjust the temperature. So what do you think of having baseball making a mandate to every team, especially in areas where the weather's not good, to have a dome stadium?
I think you are severely underrating just how expensive it is. You're talking about hundreds.
Probably,
yeah. Yeah, no, it sounds great. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, sure, build a dome. Although I don't even love it for a reason I'll get into in a minute. I get it. It's practical. And thanks for the call there, Phil. But, you know, you got to build the dome. You're looking at hundreds of billions of dollars. And obviously that depends on how big, the location. Like, we rail, and yeah, it's just gross. I mean, no disrespect. MetLife is just horrendous, you know. But to build in New Jersey, a little different than building up in Buffalo. You know, you think their stadium's going to look pretty cool? I do. You know, when the Jaguars get their act together, you think it's going to look a little different, a little nicer? You think it's going to pop a little bit more down in Jacksonville than here? So, you know, it's very expensive. And there's a lot of things you've got to secure to get those bids. It's tough. No, you can't mandate that teams in smaller markets. That's not feasible. I don't doubt that it would be appealing to some, but I don't want to walk into a stadium in the Bronx or in Queens that is a dome. I don't want to. I really don't. Sam's in Pomona. Sam, BT and Sound on the Fan. Sam is gone. How about Eddie on Long Island? Ed.
How you doing?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, a couple of points on the Mets. Number one, the most important, one of the most important roles of a manager is managing the pitching staff and the bullpen. Mendoza's excellent. Second point, Stearns is a tremendous evaluator of talent who needs a checkbook. Third point, the reason why they're not giving Alonso a long-term contract is because of his body type. His body type is not conducive for a five-year contract. 2 years, yes, not five. Last comment. I spoke to you last year about
got a list
Lindor.
Uh-huh.
About Lindor. And you told me, oh, Lindor, you start naming Bobby Witt, all these people. Lindor finished second in the MVP balloting.
Okay.
Underrated, very underrated.
I don't think he's underrated anymore. I listen, Eddie, I think the evaluation, thanks for the call, came with a list here, Dovey. A little checkpoint. Notice he saved the Lindor stuff for last. A lot of dissenting voices around here about Lindor over the years. It's been an issue with the fan. I don't think he's underrated. I think the evaluation of Lindor, quite frankly, has been a little tricky. All I ever said about Lindor, right? All I ever said was, the player that I thought the Mets got from the Guardians was not, up until the final 3 months of last season, maybe four, was not the player that I saw with the Mets. Never that he wasn't a terrific fielder. Never that he wasn't, you know, a four or five tool guy. Listen, we're way past this. I'm just addressing it because he brought it up. But I don't think he's underrated. I think that for a while, by some of us, he was properly positioned. And then some of us, including me, had to adjust that position based on what he showed me. Now, let me let you in on a little secret. Now, I guess not everybody has to do this, but for me, I will always live by this rule when I speak into a microphone. If I am wrong, I'll own up. I will admit it, and I will have a discussion, and I will. Now, I might not do it right away. I need, like, if I'm that dug in on a point like I was with Lindor, I'm not saying, oh, he's the player of the week. Oh, I was wrong. Wow, he hit .437 this week. He's back. No. But when you are provided with ample evidence and you do not change your opinion, I think it's a disservice to the audience, because then I don't think you can have a bond of trust. That's just my opinion. Like, that's a rule, you know, the golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated. You got to come correct when you got to come correct. So I don't think he's underrated anymore. I think he's now positioned as a star because he's shown to be a star last year, finishing second to Ohtani. And if you think that, and I don't want to turn the show into Lindor, but if you thought that was the Lindor that we got the first couple of years, now I don't know what to tell you, because that's not the same guy. That's not who we were watching. He morphed back into a superstar last year. Now, if he came here and he was 260, 17 home runs, 70 RBIs, 12, 13 steals, you know, 747 OPS with the Guardians, I would have said, well, you know, the Mets got a decent player. I thought the Mets got, like, a top 10 player in the game. He was in his mid-20s. I'm like, dude, if you go back and you find those conversations, I'm like, I think me and Teak, were we still doing national? I think we were. I'm like, the Mets got a baller. This guy's unreal. So my criticisms weren't he's a Met, or it was what happened to the guy that I watched with the Guardians? Well, he resurfaced a year ago, and that's why I changed my tune. But I don't think he's underrated anymore. I don't. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. I've got the Yankees lineup for today. I mean, I'm just going to ask the question, and I'm going to start kicking this around coming up next. Outside of Rodgers and the Jets, what team has been more disappointing than these Rangers? What a disgrace at the Garden this year. We'll get to that as well. BT and Sal, I'm on the Fan. Now, the Yankees, as you know, they shifted these times out in Detroit because it's freezing. So starting at 12:30 on 6:60 a.m. and the free Odyssey app, that's where you get Yankee stuff, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 the first pitch. And to listen to the rest of us here, Sal is off today. But of me, BT and Sal, and then into Evan and Tiki, you keep it right here on 101.9 FM, and of course, also the free Odyssey app. Yankee lineup, no Bellinger, not the back, which is good. It's not related to that. He's looked very good last couple games, but I guess he was throwing up, Hop. Is that what you said? He was throwing up in a hotel last night in Detroit?
Yeah, he said Boone thinks that it was some bad wings that he ate.
Bad wings?
Yes.
So he's eating healthy. I mean, that's why he's not hitting.
Yeah, well.
Mixing a steak, man. Wings. What are you, 12?
Well, maybe it was like, you know, a nice, like, you know, rub that was on the wing.
Ah.
You know that's sometimes true. They're not bad.
Like, no, I love wings. I'm also not trying to bat second or third for the Yankees. No, he's fine, I guess, but he's not going to play today. So it's Goldschmidt, Ben Rice in the two spot. All right, Goldie at first, Ben Rice DH, Judge 3, right field. Jazz Chisholm in a four-hole, which I do not like. Watch, you have a monster game today. At second, I like him. I don't like him there. Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, Trent Grisham, who has been phenomenal. Peraza will bat ninth and play third. Carlos Carrasco is on the mound. My goodness. All right. So the Rangers, what an abomination the Rangers are. I mean, it is really hard to put up the season that they put up a year ago and to not be old. Like, there's times you just age out, and when you age out, it's over fast. Like, I remember, I don't know why I remember this more with the Mets than the Yankees, maybe because the Yankees just had more sustainability, but, like, I remember when Keith got old and Gary got old, like, it just, and Gary got here late, so it wasn't Gary's fault. It just, it was over. And then it was like, then you bring in these free agents who didn't work out, and the Mets were a mess for a while. The Rangers, to me, I don't even know how to describe it. They were ready to play last night. They came out, I think they took 12 of the first 13 shots. Like, they played, they were ready to go. And then it just fell apart. And, you know, I guess, all right, Ranger fans, I know you're not going to quit. I'm certainly not telling you to do that. But, I mean, where is this season going? It's going nowhere. They lose 5-1? 5-1? Where is the fortitude of these Rangers? Where's the pride? Where's the self-respect? What a disintegration. And what a joke these Rangers have become. It's over for everybody. Now, I know that there's some things that they just can't do. There's some contracts they're tied into. I get it. We'll unpack all that stuff when the season's over, although we could do it today because the season is over. Not officially, but it's over. Wow. Like, I've been hard on the Knicks, and the Knicks won 50 games and looking for more. We got a couple of games to go here, including the Celtics tonight and the Cavs and the Pistons and then the Nets. So they could win 51, 52, 53. We'll see. But the Rangers, what is it? I was just wanted to make sure I button this stuff up here. So the Rangers right now, they cannot accrue more than 89 points. All right? And I guess the Canadians with two more wins, they get to 89. So you got problems here. When you are six back with five to go, and, oh, yeah, by the way, you look like ass. I also say it, they just do. I don't like to speak that way too often, but, man, they look terrible. And the Canadians, the team that you're battling with, they've won five straight. There's really nothing else to say except as soon as it's officially over, officially, it'll be wrecking ball time for the Rangers. And you will have to smash that organization into smithereens. And you will have to discover what the next step is. And these steps will need to be radical. This is not a little teeny tweak. You know, a little, plug this guy. Nah. It's over for this crew. They don't deserve a chance to run it back. You cannot fall this hard and this much without dire consequences. What an awful... I don't even know... I mean, the Rodgers-Jets situation is different because that was based more on hope. And, all right, you know, listen, they got some good players. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can save them. Let's put them on primetime 7 or 8 times and let's force feed the Jets down everybody's throat. And, of course, it didn't work out. Whereas, like, the Rangers, they earned the respect and they earned the platitudes and they earned the reverence that they got from everybody in the hockey community. And won the President's Cup a year ago. They're a step away from going to the Stanley Cup. Man, I don't pretend to know a lot about hockey. Like, I'll always keep that real. It's my least favorite sport of all the majors here. But even I know it is wrecking ball time. It's over. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. So a little Ranger stuff. Some early season weather issues in baseball. Carlos Rodon's been a disaster. Nick is in South Carolina. Nick, BT and Sal, what's going on, Nick?
Hey, BT. Salutations from South Carolina.
Yes, love South Carolina. Thank you, buddy. You
beautiful.
Too.
It's a beautiful thing. Listen, it's only barely a couple weeks into the season, so nobody should get too panicky, but one thing that's been exposed is that the Yankees don't have a starting pitching staff that can get out of the fifth inning. And no matter who they throw up there, even when Clark Schmidt comes back, nobody can get out of the fifth inning. And the Yankees can't keep scoring 7, 8, 9 runs every game.
Yep.
So you're depending on this pitching staff to at least get you through to the sixth inning with maybe 4-3, 5-4. But they're going to have to learn how to take these guys and get them past the fifth inning, because the bullpen itself has played very well up to now. They've pitched very well up to now.
Yeah, really, but, except Devin Williams. He's the one who looks the worst.
Exactly. And they really should consider putting Luke Weaver as their closer.
No,
because first
stop.
Of all,
Nick, come on, Nick.
Why? Explain to me why.
I'm going to tell you why, Nick. Not yet. I'm going to tell you why. Good call. Appreciate that, buddy. No, not yet. I mean, it's one thing to say Devin Williams doesn't look like Devin Williams. Another thing on April 8th to call us up and say, jack him out of the closer's role and go back to Luke Weaver. And I love Luke Weaver, but no, Devin Williams is going to get some time here. There's no way he shouldn't. Listen, his best pitch we know is the changeup. His velo's not quite there yet. And those 2 or 3, or even in some cases 4 miles per hour of separation, which doesn't make his changeup quite as effective, that's a real thing. Like, I get it. We can sound the alarm. Oh, the Yankees, they couldn't keep Soto, so they went out and they got all these players, and Devin Williams supposed to be the best closer in baseball, and he's looked rattled, and maybe he's not built for New York, and maybe, when Pete took him deep, he took his soul. Maybe he did, but I'm not saying that yet. Like, I need to see him get the weather cranked up a little bit. Even Mariano Rivera, I remember watching Mo a couple times, in particular against the Red Sox, where he blew multiple saves in April. And, Mariano's velocity wasn't quite there. I just think it's a little different for relievers to start a season. Myself, I've always thought that, than starters. I'm not saying Devin Williams has a job for life or a job for the season. No, that's going to be fluid if Devin Williams isn't up to the job. I'm not going there yet. That's number one. So that's the explanation for you. I hope maybe you agree, maybe you don't. That's fine. The other thing, too, last call to preface, he's like, it's not time to panic. I'm not panicking. I'm just getting a little ticked off at Rodon. Big difference. Like, I'm not panicking about, and he does have a pretty good point about the Yankees starters and their lack of length. And by the way, this applies to any team. Being an issue down the road based on, like, that residual taxing for the bullpen, I got you. But Clark Schmidt's coming back, and eventually Luis Gil's coming back. I mean, I went into this. There's a reason why I really thought that the Yankees, and I still do, it's going to be a nightly battle. Some nights they're going to look great. Some nights they're going to look fairly inept. And I think when you add that up, it's probably lowish 90 wins. And lowish 90 wins in the American League East represents a dogfight. I've said that. I've been consistent with that. The Yankees have flaws, and now some of their divisional foes do as well. But I do think many of these flaws will be corrected in the return of some of the pitchers I just mentioned. My issue is the frustration with Rodon. I didn't mention the other staff. I did. I'm also a little frustrated with Jazz's approach, and I'll get to that coming up a little bit. But no, you've got to be realistic. The Yankees are missing 40%, actually 60% with Cole, of their starting rotation. I'm going to give them a little time to figure things out. Rodon's got to get his head out of the clouds, though. That's the problem.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. Hoffy, what do you got today, bud?
All right. Well, we're going to start with the Yankees because you did. BT, bald face lie, bald face truth. The New York Yankees will acquire a new starting pitcher before they get a new bat.
The Yankees will acquire a new pitcher before they get a new bat.
New starting pitcher.
Yep, I got you. I'm going to say it's a bald face lie. I think they're going to navigate this early. I don't think anybody's going to run away with the division. So I think they've got that built-in cushion to do this at a time, like a speed that maybe is a little slower than some Yankee fans might want. But no, I don't think that it makes any sense to do it now, because you've got to see where Schmidt is and Luis Gil is. Now, if they got bad news on Luis Gil, if they were to ever get that, if there's a huge setback at some point, I think that could change the timeline. But no, I think that they'd probably be in more. I still think third base will be addressed at some point, I think. So I'm going to say bald face lie.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Bald face lie, bald face truth. Juan Soto will break the record for consecutive games getting on base.
What is the number, by the way?
It's 84.
84?
By Ted Williams.
Oh, stop. Ballface lie. There's no way. What is his number now?
He's at 22 right now, dating back to last year.
Going back to last season.
But he's got 10, sneakily, the first 10 games of the season, he's been on base every game. We didn't even realize it.
Well, you know what it was? The first couple of games, he looked really good. Then he got a little cold, but he still, each of those games, he found a way to find that. But that's what he does. He gets on base. No, that number is ridiculous. And it's not an inability for him to do his job, that part of his job, at a level as well as anybody. It's that I just think a number like that is fairly unattainable, so that is a bald-faced lie.
By the way, just to fact-check a couple things here,
yep.
Barry Bonds in 2003 was the most current to be closest with 58.
I mean, you said about Bonds, who was hopped up on steroids at the absolute apex of his superhuman powers, and he was about 30 short? Yeah, I'm going to put money on a bald-faced lie.
Yeah, and actually somehow Ryan Klesko was there with 56.
Was he really? With the Braves or with the Padres at that point?
Whatever he was with 2002. I think that was the San Diego, actually.
Yeah, probably was the Padres, yeah.
Last one. Actually, I got a fourth one if you want to.
A little bonus time. Yeah,
but we'll go to this one. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Jets will be taking a quarterback in one of the first two rounds of the 2025 NFL draft.
One of the first two rounds. Yeah, you make that tricky there. I'm going to say bald-faced lie. I do think that there's some people who think that, they could take Jackson Dart at 7. I don't think they're doing that. I think the Jets are going to have a very boring but a very eventually productive and effective draft night, at least round one. I think they're probably going O-line or they're trading out, which would not be boring. That would be exciting, actually. I think the Jets are set up to do a lot of fun things here. They could sit at 7. They could take the kid from Missouri. They could trade down, take a tight end. They could trade down, take another corner. I don't think they'd be inclined to trade up at all. I would say stand pat or trade out. But I think the Jets and the Giants, provided they don't take Sanders, I'm not a big believer in Sanders. I think both teams walk away with something good, but I like the Jets. I'm really starting to dive into these mocks now. And the Jets are going to have a lot of good options, but I do not think they'll take a quarterback in the first two rounds.
Do you think that, just as a side note, Jordan Travis, does he have any ability to be making the team?
It's very quiet. I know that setback was a big problem. Did not exactly reflect very well on the Jets' ability to help young players recover from injury. I'm not exactly assigning blame, but it's not a good look. So, I don't know, man. I think if anything that I say about him is a complete at a dartboard. I mean, Robert Saleh, when he was here, didn't say anything about him. Joe Douglas didn't say anything. We haven't gotten any updates. The only update we got was from his camp saying that there was a setback and basically blaming the Jets doctors. So, I don't know. Aaron Glenn and Muji didn't even draft him. So, I don't even know if they really like the kid's talent. I don't know that they don't, but I don't know that they do. But I do not believe he factors in this early. No, I just don't.
And then just as a bonus here, because you did mention the Rangers before, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth, Chris Drury will be out of a job come July 1st.
I don't see how he can't be. Bald-faced truth. I mean, if everything that I just said, which I stand by, how in the next segment can I say, no, he deserves to be retained here. He's done a good job. There's just certain seasons that get away from you. So, bald-faced truth, he'll be gone.
Well, but again, the thing is that we both believe it, that he should be gone. But upper management, we've seen them being loyal recently to Chris Drury. So they've kind of stayed away from sticking their nose in this type of business.
Yep.
And if Drury's rebuilding team had all the success the past few years, maybe they don't get rid of him. But the problem is, you're right. The Shesterkin deal is the one that pisses me off more than anything else. Because if you look at the Canadians, years ago with Carey Price, they gave him a huge contract, and that's been the detriment of the team. It took them 10 years to basically rebuild and now finally get back into the playoffs. Shesterkin, he's not that great. We love him. He's our guy. We want him to be Lundqvist. He's not that great. You locked him up. He's got a no-trade clause. He's going to be here for another 9 years. You have a lot of money invested, and now the fact is that you're going to have to rebuild this team from scratch. It's going to be a team that's rebuilding for years.
Years?
Yes.
This is a frustrated Rangers fan, people.
Yes.
And your Ranger fans, I don't think what he just said is not on point. You got to be feeling the same thing. There's nobody. I said this before, I've been, maybe in the eyes of some, unnecessarily critical or lacking enthusiasm for the Knicks this year. But that was based on the expectations of what they did a year ago, and now the addition of Karl Anthony Towns and some other pieces, okay, with Mikal Bridges. And I've still been critical, yet they very well going to win 51, 52, 53 games. Whereas the Rangers were knocking on the door of the Stanley Cup. They win the President's Cup. They give the contract to the goalie for basically a decade, and they're not going to make the playoffs? No, that is unacceptable. That's why I use the term wrecking ball. You got to take a wrecking ball to this. Now, one of the things that Dolan's done, and I commend him for this, is that he's been hands-off with not only the Rangers, but also the Knicks. Leon Rose has done a really good job. Not perfect, but a really good job. He's let them cook, and there's been no drama at the Garden. From the Knicks' perspective, there was drama for, the last 20 years, really, till Tom Thibodeau got here. It was Phil Jackson, Fizdale. It was ridiculous, dude. So there was just a lot of unnecessary drama. I do think that the Rangers side is going to have to flex. He's going to have to involve himself, and I think he will. And I think it's tough. I don't know how you justify bringing back Drury. I can't. But I also don't know as much hockey as you, so I don't know. I could be wrong.
Right. And you can't bring the coach back either. And
no.
I'm confused because it's like they're patient on certain players, like Lafreniere, they're patient on. And the guy has scored three goals in the past 30 games. Chris Kreider had a very tough year. I know he put up 20 goals, but he's also got 4 assists in the season. That's like Curtis Granderson hitting 30 home runs with 59 RBIs. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then they trade away Kaapo Kakko this year,
yeah,
who is somebody that, again, 24 years old, a young kid. He's thriving in Seattle.
He's having that big of a season?
Yeah, he's having a record season this year because
he's
getting playing time.
Didn't even realize that.
And that just shows that clearly somebody's missing the mark with playing these young kids, giving them actual ice time. And then you have these old veterans. And listen, Panarin had a good season, but Zibanejad was lost. Trocheck was lost. I mean, you just had a really terrible season from most of the vets.
Yeah.
This team is going nowhere real quick.
But these are also names veteran names we complained about in the postseason last year, talking about their playoff medal, not in round one. As we got deeper into it, I don't know. It just seems like it's time to mix up the DNA. This team seems not going to win anything. I mean, you want to come back with a new coach, a new GM, and try to. And now they do have an additional issue. Some of these contracts, now they're hamstrung. Like there's only so many things they can do. Some of these contracts are guaranteed. I don't think it's a very desirable position for the Rangers.
The salary cap is going up, quote unquote, but that means nothing to me when you have so much invested in a goalie. You invested into a backup goalie who's just as old. So you have two goalies who are kind of in a bad spot right now, especially if the defense can't help and prevent shots, which that's the one thing I'll give Igor this. He's been peppered with shots more than any other goalie this entire year.
Yep.
So he's got the most shots on attempt, but his goals against have gone up.
Yeah.
His save percentage has gone down. It's not good. It's not good. He's one of the lowest in the. He's 36 for goals against. I was telling you earlier.
We were talking about that before the show.
Save percentage is 25th in the league.
I mean, oof,
that's not good.
Those numbers are gross.
Yeah, you can't be paid the most to be that bad.
No. I mean, you paid the most. I don't need you to be number one necessarily, but because timing is everything when your contract is up. You can't be, 30th in goals against or 36th and 25th save percentage? What? No. Unacceptable.